Naomi Wu, welcome to Sunday Night at the TSO.
Hi, Kathleen. Thanks for having me.
It's great that you were able to join us tonight. And as a new guest on Sunday Night at the TSO, it's a new tradition, 5 get-to-know-you questions.
Okay.
Are you ready?
All right, let's do it.
Favorite conductor or one you admire?
Oh, my God. Carlos Kleiber.
Oh. Why is that?
Why? I mean, just the most searingly emotional interpretations of some of my favorite music and such a limited range of music to listen to, but it's all spectacular.
Favorite movies or TV series?
Well, I don't typically watch a lot of TV, but I do like to watch TV on the plane, and I've just been watching Poker Face with Natasha Lyonne, and I thought she was amazing in it.
Okay, I'll have to check that one out. What's your favorite Lunar New Year tradition and why?
Well, I'll pick two. When I was a kid, my family, we always got new clothing for Lunar New Year, and I really loved getting new clothes, and we often had matching clothing, my siblings and I, and that was really sweet and really fun. And the other Lunar New Year tradition that I always love is that you're not supposed to clean on Lunar New Year. Of course, you are supposed to do all of your cleaning beforehand, but sometimes I ignore that part and just focus on, I don't have to do any cleaning today.
That's a good one. Opera or ballet?
I have to choose?
Mm-hmm.
Opera.
Okay. You want to say why?
I like words.
Yeah, great. Favorite area in Toronto and why?
I really love going to the beaches. I love to swim. I swim year-round. I haven't swum in the winter in Toronto before, but I think I would really like it if I did.
Let's hear a bit about you as a musician. How did you get started?
Well, I started playing the piano when I was quite small, when I was about 4 or 5. My parents had a little piano that they got in the classifieds. I always say Craigslist, which, of course, when I was 5, there was not such a thing as Craigslist. But my parents had this little spinet piano, and I really wanted to take piano lessons. And I asked them if I could take piano lessons, and they said, that's ridiculous. You're not even in kindergarten. You're obviously way too young. Eventually, they told a friend who was a musician. They said, Naomi's been asking to take piano lessons, but she must be way too young, right? And this friend who was a musician said, are you kidding? She's way too old. She'll never become a musician at this rate. And we were living in St. John's, Newfoundland. And so she recommended a piano teacher. I was really lucky to start piano lessons there with a wonderful teacher called Sheena Roberts. And that was where I started my piano lessons. My family moved to Vancouver when I was just a couple years older than that, when I was 6.
Wow, so from one end of the country to the other.
Yes, absolutely. And I continued my piano lessons there. And so that was really how I got started as a musician.
And then what took you into conducting?
It took a little while, though I, for a long time, knew that I was interested in being a conductor. When I was 12 or 13, I had the opportunity to play a concerto with the Vancouver Symphony Orchestra. It was very exciting. I'd won a competition. I was thrilled. But there were two things I really wasn't prepared for in that experience. One was just the feeling of being part of something so much bigger than myself, playing the piano, but with the sound of the orchestra surrounding me and realizing how much more was possible and realizing what that instrument, the instrument of the orchestra, was like, and that I was just a small piece of it. And that feeling was very exciting, and I wanted to be close to that more often. And the other thing that happened in that concert is that the assistant conductor of the Vancouver Symphony at the time was Tanya Miller, and it was the first time I'd seen a woman conduct an orchestra, and meeting her and seeing her conduct, it was just a moment when I thought, maybe this is something that I could do one day. So that was where the inspiration struck. It was not until I started my undergraduate degree that I really started conducting properly. And even then, it kind of came in bits and pieces. There was a student orchestra at Yale where I was doing my undergrad, and I
auditioned. Were you there for piano or?
No, so I was doing mathematics and philosophy.
Oh, wow.
That was my undergraduate degree. It was a liberal arts degree. So I was playing piano, and I was still playing piano very seriously, but I was studying other things, and I thought, why don't I give this conducting thing a try? So I started conducting student orchestras. I conducted some operas while I was at Yale. And then even after I finished my degree, I didn't do conducting professionally. I did a master's degree in piano. I did an artist diploma in piano in Montreal. And then I went to the UK and did a PhD in musicology. But the whole time I just kept conducting. I kept conducting students and amateurs and putting on my own performances and working with my friends, basically. And that's what I really loved about it, is it, I wasn't as solitary as being a solo pianist. Absolutely. And I loved making music with my friends. So it was only when I finished my PhD that I really thought, okay, what would it look like to do this actually as a job? And at that point, I got the job as assistant conductor of the Winnipeg Symphony. And so that was my first professional experience as a conductor, and when I started really, really transitioning to being a conductor. But still, when it feels its best and when I'm the happiest is when it feels like I'm just making a bunch of music with my friends.
Wow. Well, it sounds like that was actually a nice way to groom yourself in terms of your relationship to the activity. I'm wondering, though, if you have any thoughts about why you didn't take it seriously as a pursuit to begin with.
Well, I think definitely there's a part of it that has to do with gender. It has to do with the fact that I didn't know that many other women who were conductors. And so I didn't know what that career path would look like. I think there's also just the simple fact of I didn't grow up, my parents weren't musicians, and I didn't know that many other musicians. So I didn't really know very many other conductors to talk to and ask how practically one becomes a conductor. And it's a very strange job, too, in the sense that the first time you conduct, there's no practicing, you know? It's not like being a pianist and practicing on your own and then showing up and doing it for an audience. The first time you conduct, even in a rehearsal, is for an audience of 20, 30, upwards of 100, 200 people. And so that also is very, it's very intimidating and it's very scary. But I think I was lucky in a sense that although I didn't do a lot of formal training, I actually had a lot of time on a podium conducting other people. And so in that sense, it is the kind of thing that you only learn by doing it. There's only so much that you can study on your own. You really just have to do it a whole lot. And I learn every time I conduct and with every orchestra that I'm in front of.
Gender has been a very stubborn stumbling block in conducting. I think conducting is one of the most sort of tenacious in that way. And you are currently a fellow in the Women in Musical Leadership Program with Tapestry Opera and the TSO, and you've also been part of the Women Opera Makers Workshop in Aix-en-Provence, also the first training course for women conductors, the National Opera Studio with the Royal Philharmonic. And, you know, I look at this and I see, wow, there is an international push to finally normalize women on the podium. What are your thoughts about that?
I mean, I think I'm really lucky that there's actually very few opportunities I have where I'm the first woman to do them. And I think that's a great thing. I mean, it's about time. You know, someone, of course, I really admire is someone like Maren Alsop, who, when she was the first woman to conduct the last night of the prom, she, instead of celebrating it, she was like, really, guys? Like, you know, this should have happened a long time ago.
Yeah.
And I'm also lucky to have a lot of mentors, to now have a lot of other women who have had incredible careers who I can look up to, who I can ask advice from. Just recently, I was chatting with Jane Glover, who has had a fantastic career, many, many appearances here in Toronto at the TSO. I have a teacher in London called Sean Edwards, who's a huge inspiration for me. Obviously, Tanya Miller, who has now become a mentor and colleague and someone I text often with, you know, questions and to ask advice. So really, I feel not alone at all. And as you mentioned, I've also had these really, really special training opportunities where I've also developed just a wonderful community of colleagues who I draw on for support and advice, and we lift each other up. And I feel really lucky to be entering the profession at a time where I have that support.
Now, it has been shown in other sectors that where there is a critical mass of women involved, there is a culture change.
Mm-hmm.
And what are your thoughts on how this may translate into the culture of the conductor, which has been such a, for lack of a better word, it maybe is the best word, very patriarchal kind of image and role?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I also feel fortunate to be conducting now at a time when I think the days of the extremely hierarchical and, you know, abusive conductor, I think those days are behind us now. And I feel lucky because that's not my personal approach as a conductor and as a musician. And I would say that it's not just about gender, but it's about, I think, in order to be a really good conductor, you just have to be true to yourself. It's a very strange role because you're not the one making any sound. The musicians are making sound. And so what really is it that you're bringing to the table? And I think you know, many orchestral musicians ask the same thing, and many people ask the same thing. What is it that a conductor is really doing? And I think at its best, you are collaborating with all of the incredible players who are the ones making sound. You're bringing out the best in what people have to offer and in other people's musical ideas. And you're bringing something really of you, like of yourself. It requires a tremendous amount of self-trust, of self-confidence, as well as of humility and trust in others. And that's the spirit and the approach that I really try to bring to my work as a conductor and collaborator.
As you speak, I am reminded of someone who I understand is your mentor,
Yannick.
Both at the Philadelphia Orchestra and at the Orchestre Metropolitain in Montreal, but Yannick Nézet-Séguin.
Absolutely.
Who has a reputation for this kind of approach. What is he like as a mentor?
Yeah, I've learned a lot from him in this respect. I remember a moment when I was conducting in a master class, and I had found that, you know, we couldn't hear the clarinet as well as I wanted to, and I gestured to the violins to be quieter, just in the middle of this movement. And in the class, he brought me back to that moment, and he said, you know, you don't actually have to gesture to the violins to be quieter. All you have to do is direct your attention to what you would like them to listen to, and they will play quieter because they can see that you're asking them to listen to the melody in the clarinet.
Oh, that's brilliant.
It was magical. And it was a moment that was not just a lesson for conductors. It was a lesson for life. It was a lesson for leadership in general. It was a lesson in how to encourage people to do the thing that you would like them to do instead of tell them not to do the thing that you don't want.
And it's not about less of you. It's about, hey, how beautiful is that?
Absolutely.
And then you just organically get out of the way.
Yeah, exactly.
That's amazing.
That was a very special lesson.
Amazing. You are going to conduct the Lunar New Year celebration, which is back at the TSO by popular demand. It hasn't been mounted since 2018. How are you feeling about that?
Oh, I am so excited. It will be my first concert with the TSO. I'm just thrilled. I was really fortunate to have the opportunity to conduct the TSO a little bit in a masterclass organized by the Women in Musical Leadership Program through Tapestry Opera and the TSO. And the 30 minutes that I spent with the orchestra was just so special. It's an orchestra I really, really love. I love the sound that they make. I love the energy. I had such a good time with them that I'm just thrilled to be able to be back and to be doing a concert with them. And then, of course, to do a Lunar New Year concert. It's just going to be fun. You know, Lunar New Year is such a celebratory time of year. And the repertoire that we've chosen and the way we've structured the concert, it is really going to be a celebration. It is going to be so much fun. And so I think audiences are going to have a great time. I think the musicians are going to have a great time. I'm excited.
Tell us a bit about what audiences can expect in this celebration of the Year of the Dragon.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we've got lots of fun stuff. First of all, I'm collaborating with an incredible host, Dashan, or Mark Rosewell, who is widely known as one of the most famous foreigners in China, based right here in Toronto. He is a comedian and storyteller and just a fantastic person. And I had the chance to work with him last year in Winnipeg for the Winnipeg Symphony's Lunar New Year concert. So it's really special to be collaborating with him on his home turf here in Toronto. He will be narrating and hosting the concert, as well as performing the Ballad of the Pipa, which is an ancient Chinese poem about the story of the pipa, the instrument. And what's going to be really special about this is that the story is told through text spoken in Mandarin and music in the orchestra, but the orchestra itself does not feature a pipa. So we're talking about the pipa, but through a different kind of musical language. This is a really beautiful poem, and I know that Dashan is just going to perform it beautifully. So that's super exciting. But that's not the only guest by any means. We have the wonderful young Toronto-based pianist Eric Guo, who recently won the International Chopin Competition for historical instruments. He's going to be playing the third movement of the first Chopin Piano Concerto, which was, in fact, one of the first pieces I ever played with orchestra. So a very special piece for me.
Have you conducted it before?
I've never conducted it before.
Okay, that's so cool.
Yeah, I'm really excited. We have Timmy Chewy, who is a fantastic violinist who I have known since we were little children growing up in BC together. We've never worked together as grown-ups. So that's going to be just delightful. He's doing some Butterfly Lover's Concerto, of course, the extremely famous Chinese violin concerto, as well as the Lark Ascending. So that's going to be really beautiful. We have dancers doing dragon dance and lion dance. So going to be lots of fun dancing happening alongside music. And I'm really, really looking forward. We'll open the program with a piece by the Toronto-based Chinese composer Chan Kanin. And I was really fortunate to be able to be the assistant conductor for Kanin's brand new opera, Dragon's Tale, which was premiered in June of 2023 in Toronto by Tapestry Opera. So I was the assistant conductor for that, and I conducted one of the performances. It was at Harbourfront Center. It was really, really special occasion. And Kanin also wrote a piece for me last year for the Winnipeg Symphony's Lunar New Year concert in 2023. So I thought it would be appropriate to bring this piece to Toronto, where Kanin lives. The piece is called Welcoming Spring. And we will welcome spring and welcome the Spring Festival with this piece. So lots of special guests and exciting things, and some pieces from the classical music canon as well. There will be a little bit of Stravinsky. So lots of fun.
Dynamic programming.
Yes.
Very nice. I'm wondering what this all means to you in terms of musical representation in Western orchestras.
Yeah. I mean, I think that Lunar New Year is such a celebratory time of year for so many people around the world and here in Toronto. And it seems like such an obvious thing for a cultural institution like the Toronto Symphony to get in on the fun, to get in on the celebration. I think this is going to be a concert that people who celebrate Lunar New Year are really going to enjoy. But I also think this is a concert that anyone can enjoy and appreciate. So I feel really honored to be able to be part of this and to be able to bring this tradition back to the Toronto Symphony after a long hiatus.
Well, kudos to the TSO for inviting you to do so. Naomi Wu, thank you so much for joining us tonight, and all the best for your performance.
Thanks, Kathleen.